Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. We have a special guest today from Arizona. Her name is Christy Siefkin. She has spent nearly 2 decades in front of a news camera as an Emmy recognized reporter and anchor. She's also been a corporate spokesperson. She broadcasted on local and national networks, including those that we're familiar with, CBS, Fox, NBC, Animal Planet, and Discovery, just to name a few. So her business, her passion for teaching others inspired her to create Christy Siefkin Communications. Now, with that being said, companies like HP, CBRE, Thermo Fisher, Goodwill and Charles Schwab have entrusted Christy to train their talent and communicate like pros every time they speak, whether it's in the boardroom, it's in or in front of a news camera or a podcast microphone, or even on stage. Christy is a pro at teaching us what to do, how to speak properly, and how to be effective at it. When Christy is not busy coaching and training or emceeing conferences and fundraising events, she loves cheering on her Duke Blue Devils. You can see. And taking road trips with her feisty Norwich Terrier, Poppy Monsoon, who is as cute as can be. Christy, welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. How are you today?
I am great, Claudine. Thank you for the beautiful introduction. And I can't give too much of a shout out to the Blue Devils for this past season, but I do like to cheer them on year round.
I love it. I love that. All right. So let's dive right in and let's talk about public speaking and how it can be used to improve your career and increase value. Okay.
Yes.
So, Christy, your business isn't simply teaching people how to give a speech, right? It's much deeper than that. So, how do you train your leaders and teams to do that?
You brought up an excellent point, Claudine, that this phrase of public speaking is associated with a political speech, or you think of speech and debate tournaments from high school. And the fact of the matter is, we are public speaking every day of our lives. If you're in any sort of professional role, whether you are presenting ideas to your boss, you're pitching to a client, you are having a conversation, getting feedback with someone you want to do business with, or even right now over Zoom or over that podcast microphone, you are public speaking. You're expected to be able to distill your ideas in an interesting way, deliver them compellingly, and then get somebody to do something about it. So that to me at the core is what public speaking is. And the fact of the matter is that if you are bright, you're educated, you have lots of experiences, that will get you so far, but it won't necessarily get you to the goals you want to reach if you're not communicating your expertise, your value, and your ideas well. So that's why it's so critical that people learn these skills for an in-person setting, and also within this Zoom setting. So I started my company having seen, after interviewing thousands of people as a journalist, as an anchor, that there were a lot of brilliant, talented people that weren't getting the recognition they deserved. So within my company, I deliver coaching and training in a couple different ways. I do it through workshops and also one-on-one training. And it's an end-to-end process, starting with identifying what's unique to you, what's interesting about you, what is your unique lens on the world, what is your expertise, crafting that into a message that's compelling. And I do that by pulling in my background in storytelling and then my background in psychology research from the time I was at Duke. And then I teach people to deliver that message so that audiences do what you want them to do. This is the key. How do you persuade through your communications so that your goals can be aligned with your audience and you all can move forward together?
Great. I love that. And we're going to touch on storytelling in just a little bit because storytelling is so important in building your brand, which we'll touch on
Absolutely.
in a little bit too. And then you mentioned, Christy, that you your business, is it done virtually in addition to in person?
It is. So while I'm based in Phoenix, Arizona, and in the Northern California region, I split time between the two. I thankfully have clients all over the world. Thanks to this, I work with people across the US. I've had clients that are in Israel, in Spain, in Singapore, and having worked crazy news schedules where I got up at 1:45 in the morning and worked till midnight, I work with people in all time zones. And that's part of the beauty of the space that we live in. I can help people, not just here in the West, but all around the world.
That's great. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Technology is beautiful.
When it works, it is.
When it works, that's right.
Yes, yes.
So, Christy, you know, you've had many years as an anchor. So do you think that because of your background as a news anchor that you have an edge over someone that is not trained to speak publicly? I mean, were you always so eloquent in your speaking?
Certainly not. And it's important that people understand what you see on TV or on a stage. Yes, there are people with a propensity for it, but that's not the case for everyone. It certainly wasn't for me. I was a very, very introverted. I still am. People don't believe it, but very introverted, very shy child. I was very kind of stayed close to my mom. I always had a small group of friends. There was a lot of fear of speaking up and putting myself out there. And it was only as I, even as a little kid, started to see that the people that did speak up were getting chosen even for small things like a part in the school play. Even then at that young age, I could start to see if I want to get the things I want in life, I need to get outside of that comfort zone. I don't think I had that real context until I was much older, but that's when that push began. How do I find my voice? How do I make sure that whatever I want to achieve personally or professionally, I make sure that it's known and people know my skills, my value, my talent, even if it was just a little kid trying out for that school play part. So that led me on a journey over many years to start doing some public speaking. And then of course, getting into the field of broadcasting. And I had many, many bumps along the road in my time in TV, embarrassing clips that I hope never resurface. Although in a way I wouldn't mind if they did, because it's important for people to know you can start from any background. You can be an engineer, you can be an architect, you can be a painter. Doesn't mean that you can't be a great public speaker. In fact, some of the best clients that I have are quieter. They're more introverted. They're not the life of the party that walks in the room. We sometimes associate that you have to be loud and extroverted to be a good speaker. You definitely do not. Being a good speaker is all about looking at your audience, assessing how you can be of value to them. And often if you are maybe a little more shy, a little quieter, that level of being reflective and being service oriented makes you really shine when you communicate with someone.
Great point. Okay, so in business, how can learning to speak well strengthen your career and your brand? You know, I mentioned storytelling before, but that's really part of it, is telling your story.
It absolutely is. I wish we had 3 hours for a podcast, because I can go on and on about how speaking benefits your career. And remember, public speaking is not just that official speech at the lectern. What I work with people to do individually and in teams is make sure that they are seen and heard. And at the end of the day, if you want to progress within your company, if you want to get clients, if you're an entrepreneur, if you want to get the opportunity at a different company, you need to have the community surrounding you know who you are and what you're about. And there's no richer way to do that than through speaking, because we convey emotion with our voice, through the message, through our gestures. You just don't get that if you're writing an article or you are putting a post online. Being able to convey who you are through speaking is the most powerful tool to brand yourself. So the more that your voice is heard, the more your face is seen, perpetuates more opportunities to be seen and heard. And every time that you share your value, your expertise, your interests, you are strengthening your brand. And the people that do this inside of companies are the ones who are more visible for promotions. If you're looking for a job opportunity, the more thought leadership that you share about your field, the more traction that you're going to get. People start to see you as the expert. And think about it, if you are even looking to hire a doctor for a particular condition that you have, who's the person that you're going to trust? The person that you've two people with great resumes, great credentials, great education, the person who you've never heard of before, or the person whose name keeps coming up again and again. And you happen to see that they did an interview on television. You happen to see that they spoke at a community event. It's going to be the second person. When you have two equal candidates, the person who is more visible is the person that gets those opportunities. So that's why I even created my company and created what I've called the go-to speaker methodology, which is to make you, whatever your field is, the go-to person that is top of mind. So as you become that, you become more visible within your company. You become visible for external opportunities. And in all of this, it circles back, Claudine, to demonstrating leadership. Because when you go above and beyond to organize a webinar or sit on a panel or volunteer to speak somewhere and to share your message, you're showing that trait to those around you that you're willing to go maybe even outside your comfort zone, especially if you have speaking anxiety. And every time that you speak, you're demonstrating that you're competent. You're demonstrating that you have competence, that you're credible. And think about the traits that employers or businesses or business partners look for. It's all of those things. So by speaking, you're essentially on a fast track to demonstrate your value.
And, you know, that's a great point, Christy, that you've made great points. But one of which I want to emphasize, too, is that building a brand, and we talked about storytelling, when you're talking and you're doing videos on Instagram or, you know, TikTok even, it's really important to do that and to practice even on video. Because with those platforms, that's where you're really noticed for those people that are really doing those videos.
Yes. And that I absolutely agree. And it brings up another element of what I do. So I teach people to communicate live in person, but also virtually. And that is so, so key now as we've watched the entire world change over 2.5, 3 years. Budgets are cut. People want to be, and companies want to be more efficient. The opportunity to persuade in person has diminished. So now you need to be able to do it through a camera lens. Right. And the truth of the matter is that speaking naturally and compellingly through a camera is totally unnatural. It's a whole different skill set than being persuasive in person. And it never ceases to amaze me the number of C-suite leaders who I've worked with that are great conversationalists one-on-one. They may even be great in person. You get them on camera and it is invasion of the body snatchers. It's a whole different person, and it's not their fault, because the way that you, the type of messaging you use, the length of it, the way you use your voice, the way you use your gestures, your eye contact, all of that is an entirely different ballgame in that virtual space. Right. So if you really want to have a strong brand through speaking, it needs not just to be in person, but in this virtual space as well.
Great point. I know that, you know, when COVID happened, it's as if we all needed to learn how to look each other in the eyes.
Yes.
Because so many things were done virtually. So what you're doing is very, very important. And we touched a little bit also on the importance of learning to speak on video or camera, which was my next question. So thank you for diving into that.
I just jumped right into it. I will add to that theme of speaking on camera, I'm a total psychology nerd. It was my undergraduate degree. And when I went back for my graduate degree, it was either broadcasting or getting my doctorate. I chose broadcasting. I'm still going to get the doctorate. I'm just trying to figure out how to juggle the entrepreneurship with that. But part of what was fascinating to me was learning about social psychology and human behavior. And our face informs so much of how we perceive someone. And for those who don't have visual impairments and can see someone's face on video, we immediately make a snap judgment about someone's level of intelligence, their trustworthiness, and their competence through their face, what they're doing with their face, what they're doing with their body, what they're doing with their hands. That's relevant, of course, in person, but it is amplified in video. Think about this. All of our video communications are a zoomed in spotlight on our facial expressions, on our gestures. So you can be the brightest person and have the best, most beautifully crafted presentation. And if you're not delivering it in a compelling way into that camera, you're not going to establish the trust and you lose people immediately. So it's not just that you attention spans are shorter and that you've got technological challenges, but there literally is this spotlight where we have to be meticulous about the way that we present ourselves.
Great point. So, Christy, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see speakers making when they talk about themselves or they talk about their company or even their product?
Yes, many, many mistakes. I say this because I've made them all as well. When I began my public speaking journey, I, like many people, thought it's about me. I'm the person speaking. And if you literally are on a stage, you've got spotlights on you, you've got a microphone, of course, your inclination is this is about me. That is mistake number one. When you speak, it is about the audience 100% because your message can be beautifully crafted, your delivery can be dynamic. But if you're not speaking to somebody's head and somebody's heart and delivering something that's meaningful to them, you've wasted everybody's time. You've wasted your time preparing and you've wasted the time of your audience. That's mistake number one, is making the presentation about you. The audience is the hero. They are the ones who you're trying to persuade. They are the ones who you need to keep in mind at all times. What are their pain points? What keeps them up at night? What do they need from me to solve their problems and have a happier, easier, less stressful existence, whatever your product or service is that you are offering? Now, you can make it about you in terms of sharing your personal stories. In fact, that's a really compelling way to connect with your audience. We make decisions through our heart, and then we rationalize it with our head later. So I'm all for making it about you in terms of sharing stories, sharing your vulnerability, getting a level of empathy from your audience that, hey, you're human, you've made mistakes too, here's what I've learned. So don't neglect that, but always be of service to your audience. That would be the tip number one I would give to avoid the mistake of me, me, me. Another mistake I often see, especially with a lot of high-achieving professionals in technical fields, is that the focus is in the details. It's all about the facts, the stats, the case studies, so much data, so much detail that there's no big picture. So the "you can't see the forest for the trees" phrase rings true here. Making sure that when you're sharing with your audience, big picture first, then you start to get into the details. You need to always to your audience demonstrate why they should care, what you're going to share with them, then you can start to distill those details and start to share them in a way that's relatable. People often think, oh, I'm going to show how smart I am or how accomplished I am by putting in all this information and packing the speech or the communication with too much detail. It has the opposite effect. You lose your audience. Mm-hmm. So remember, big picture first, then you can go ahead and get into those details, make them understandable. Boring presentations, I see these all day. I'm sure you've seen them all day, that you're checked out. You're trying to occasionally glance up and pretend like you're not answering emails during a virtual presentation. That happens when, yet again, you aren't thinking of your audience and you don't bother to engage them. Every communication you have, whether it's on a stage, on a podcast mic, in a boardroom, should be a conversation. It is a two-way street. The mistake people make is they communicate like it's a one-way street. They speak at the audience instead of speaking with them. The most natural and effective way to public speak is to make it a conversation. So always keeping that in mind as well. And then memorizing is a big pet peeve of mine, especially if you want to get it just right. Maybe you've got a little bit of that perfectionism in you. You write word for word what you're going to say. There's a handful of problems here. Comes off very unnaturally. It is very hard to memorize something and deliver it naturally. Even people who are professional speakers, professional television personalities, it takes years to get there and have it sound compelling. The next piece is, as soon as you lose your train of thought, as soon as you lose your place, you're out of luck because you've memorized verbatim what you have said. So that flexibility is something that you want to incorporate in your presentation. Be okay ditching that PowerPoint that you spent 10 hours on, ditching the middle of your presentation when they say, Christy, your time's cut short. We gave you an hour, but you've actually got 20 minutes. Being able to know your content so well and be able to distill it on the fly that you can present no matter what curveballs are thrown at you in the moment.
Okay. So Christy, those are all wonderful suggestions and points that you teach.
Thank you.
What are some tips and some easy ways to get started with public speaking for those that know nothing about it?
Yes, it can be so scary to get started. Just like anything, the first step is often the hardest. And then the object in motion, per physics, stays in motion. So we've got to kick that ball down the street and get it going. And with that, start small. Don't start out by saying, I'm going to sign up to give a keynote speech at my industry convention next year. That is way too big. That's a beautiful goal to have and you should strive for it, but start small. And this is key, create your own opportunities. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for somebody to give you an opportunity.
Right.
What do I mean by that? You could decide, let's say that you work within the medical field, that you'd like to have a webinar. You offer to do a webinar internal to your company about some new research that you've been doing or some new patient care observations that you've made, just to educate people in a conversational way. Yet again, you're doing it because you genuinely feel it would be helpful to your team. You can go on to LinkedIn Live or Instagram Live and interview somebody. Interviewing somebody is a great way to public speak, where you're putting the ball in their court. You're bringing them to the table as the expert, but you're getting the practice of getting to ask the questions, give some feedback. Another way could be that you volunteer to speak at a breakout at a conference. And this goes back to building your brand and strengthening your brand. When you go and speak, anytime you speak and you are in front of a room, it's a natural opportunity and excuse to talk to people. So think about this. If you're the subject matter expert on architecture at a convention, at a lunch and learn, after you've spoken, after you shared your thoughts, people are going to come up to you and want to talk to you. So those awkward networking events that we all hate, I hate them. I spend most of my time in the bathroom hiding. The introvert in me does not like them. When you're the person who's sharing knowledge and value, people come to you.
Right.
So you automatically start to get these built-in connections, because if you say something interesting, people want to continue that conversation offline. Mm-hmm. So looking for opportunities in your day-to-day life and using this mm-hmm. every single day, getting on camera, just in front of your cell phone, to get comfortable with speaking extemporaneously and speaking on the fly. And I recommend to people, prop that cell phone up on the top of your clothing dryer as you're folding clothes and just talk into the camera about maybe some interesting observations. Let's say that you're a therapist and you're thinking that you'd like to do some more speaking. Make some interesting observations about trends you've seen between clients or a really interesting technique that you discovered to help people. The more that you get used to conversationally speaking into a camera lens, the easier this virtual communication is going to be. And honestly, that translates into your in-person communications as well. Have those conversations with a spouse, with a coworker offline. So you're lowering the stakes. It doesn't feel like there's a big spotlight on you. You're starting with baby steps and you build from those organic day-to-day opportunities to maybe you speak within your company in a webinar or lunch and learn. Then maybe you put yourself out there to speak at a local chamber. And if it is a goal of yours, you then can get to the point that you are a keynote speaker, that you are doing training or facilitating sessions, that you are being interviewed on a podcast or by television news.
Christy, one of the things that I love that you said is make it a conversation. That is so yes. important. I think that's one of the first steps is don't think too much into it. It's just, you know, have a conversation
yep.
and start small.
Absolutely. It's starting small. And it is, I tell people, one of the catchphrases I use in my media training workshops is tell grandma. Mm. And that's not an insult to grandma. Grandmas are amazing, but grandma is busy enjoying her retired life. She doesn't have the lens on industry trends and insights that you might. So if you were meeting with grandma You are meeting with your neighbor who's not in your field. Mm-hmm. How would you explain this to them? We right. often get very corporate and very executive. That's not how you connect to someone. Right. In fact, the type of leadership that we now see that's required is one that is human, someone that comes from a place of servant leadership. It is not, I am stiff and I am telling you. It is, how can I gain trust and connect with you through personal stories, through experiences, and make it conversational? And when you empower your teams to feel connected to you, they will perform to the ends of the earth. And that starts with how you talk to them.
Right. And Christy, that's all a part of networking. And I say this a lot yes. in the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast is networking. I don't like the term because many people don't understand what networking truly is. And it really is about getting to know someone, telling your story, and building relationships
yes.
with someone.
Yes. And think about, I love that point, Claudine, because every person who listens to you, whether it's in a one-on-one conversation, whether it's the ballroom that you do end up speaking in, every single one of those people is an opportunity to build a relationship.
Right.
So as you continue to build your career, I think we all learned through the pandemic that job security is false. Many of us knew right. it before. But it certainly was reinforced by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Even if you are thriving in your current role at work, it is so important to have that personal brand, to be a thought leader, and to have visibility so that if you do lose your job, if you do decide it's not a fit for you anymore, if you decide to go out on your own, you've created your own catalog, your own arsenal of samples of you, your values, your expertise, your knowledge that people can immediately see. Claudine is someone who's an expert. She knows her stuff. I like her personality. I like her values. I want to hire Claudine, or Claudine, somebody who I would hire.
Right. Create your own opportunities, Christy.
Absolutely.
Which
Absolutely.
Is what you've done.
Yes. Yes. It was a long road to it, but it's happening now. Yes. As have you.
Well, thank you. Yes. So, Christy, what advice do you have for those that have a really great fear of public speaking? You know, you talked about virtual versus in person. Two-part question. Yeah. Do you think it's easier in person than virtual?
Based on hundreds of people at this point that I've coached and trained, it really depends on the individual.
Yeah. Okay.
For some people, they are really comfortable in one-on-one conversation, or they're really comfortable even in front of a big ballroom. Uh-huh. You get them in front of the camera and it all falls apart. For others who feel like they're not being watched by not having the faces, they hide their Zoom gallery, the camera is a little bit more comfortable. So it really depends person to person. And that's the great piece about coaching someone individually, is it's all customized to what they want. There is no one size fits all.
And Christy, I think that you are such an expert at deciphering what skills someone has and what they're comfortable doing, whether it's in person or virtual. And I think that's one of the things that make you so special and great at what you do.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you for
yes,
that.
Absolutely. Christy, I'm going to end with this. If our listeners could have one takeaway from what we talked about today, I have my own takeaway, but what would that one takeaway be for you?
It's going to be multiple parts. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the opportunity to find you.
Yeah.
You need to create your own opportunities. And truly, I see there's no better way to do it than through communicating with people. Think of every time that you speak to someone as an opportunity to show your value, show your knowledge, show your expertise, and most importantly, show how you can be of service to them and help them. And that is going to take you places in life that you never maybe even dreamed of if you haven't been using that approach.
Wonderful. That was my takeaway as well. Create your own opportunity. So mm-hmm. important. Okay. So if there is there one piece of advice that you wish, Christy, that someone had given you when starting your business? And what is that one piece of advice?
Many of us, whether we work for someone else or we work for ourselves, fall prey to self-criticism, to imposter syndrome, to feeling it has to be perfect before we put ourselves out there, public speaking or otherwise. Let that go. Because the longer that you sit and wait to be perfect and get it just right, the longer that the people out there who you genuinely could help are sitting there without your expertise, without your knowledge. So if your real goal in your business, and I know it is for mine, I know it's for you too, Claudine, which is part of why you're so amazing and I admire you, is you come genuinely from that place of helping others. If that's a place you're coming from, just start. If you didn't start yesterday, today is the next best day to start. Mm-hmm. And the opportunities and knowledge that you need, if you are open to telling people, I am learning, I am finding my way through this, the right people, I genuinely believe, show up in your life, give you the introductions, give you the skill set, give you the exposure that you need to thrive. Mm-hmm. And then I think it comes full circle with the people you work with. You end up getting the types of clients that resonate with what you're about and your value system. When you lead from that place of service, mm-hmm. only good things happen.
And Christy, you do the same. I have to tell you as well. You really do lead from the heart, and you are really all about helping individuals and your clients to just progress and be successful at whatever their business is. And I really love that about you. Yeah.
The feeling is mutual.
Thank you. Thanks, Christy. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Christy.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And we always have so much fun together as girlfriends, just two girlfriends talking. So, and but you know that you and I could both talk for hours upon hours.
We'll have to have, I want to interview you, Claudine. Well, let's make this happen in the future.
Yes. I would love that.
Share your story.
So tell us, where can my listening audience find you?
Well, thankfully, it's the same everywhere. It's my name, Christy Siefkin, KristySiefkin. That's my Instagram handle. It's my Twitter handle. It is my Facebook handle. It is my name on LinkedIn. And the company is easy to remember. It's Christy Siefkin Communications. So if you Google my name, you will find all those resources out the gate.
Love it. I love it. You guys, please get in touch with Christy. She is amazing. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not just saying that as a friend. You truly are amazing. So I thank you so much again for sharing your insight. And my listening audience has, I'm sure they've taken quite a bit of value from what you've said. You shared a lot. So I thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Claudine. I really appreciate it.
Okay, friends, you can listen to more of the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Be sure to like, subscribe, and rate. And until we meet again, let's continue to impact together.